All right, we're recording. Yay! So welcome to 2013. I'm so excited. I purposely did not have coffee this morning because I'm already so jacked up. I'm so excited. I've got so much to chat with you guys about. I'm so excited to see all of you here. I see a lot of new faces or new names, I mean, and I see a lot of people that I love and adore and have known for years, and I know a lot of you emailed me that you're joining us like from your car or you're at work at your desk, or for some of you it's like 4 a.m. or you're at home with the kids running around, but I just wanted to let you know that I super appreciate you all sharing this time with me. I'm totally like humbled that so many of you are popping in here. And I just want to acknowledge you because you're taking time out of your day or evening to take it to the next level. You're here and listening because you want more out of your life and business for 2013. And don't we all? I'm right there with you. I am so freaking pumped for 2013, and I'm feeling very creatively on fire, and I have so much more new content to share this year, new things that I'm doing, new ways of doing things. And we're going to start by talking about mistakes, and everyone makes mistakes, and it's the best way to learn. It's the only way you learn, unless a friend of yours makes a mistake like me. I'm going to give you pretty much every mistake I talk about, and I think there's going to be 17. Every single one of them, I think, besides two, are mistakes that I've made. So, you know, join the club, and even experienced pros still make the same mistakes. So it's great refresher, and it's good to reinforce that, you know what, we are all human. We all struggle with the same thing, and, you know, it's part of life. You have to learn from them and move on and push yourself. That's what I love. All of you guys here are interested in pushing yourself to the next level. So before we get started on all of that, I just want to make a quick announcement. We have extended early enrollment for the online boudoir workshop till tomorrow evening. So tomorrow at midnight, we're closing the cart. What we have going on now is bonuses. So if you enroll now, if it's already something you know you want to do, we are giving out the money shots for free instead of, it's normally $97. And the money shots are my best-selling shots that every woman wants, and I use them on every shoot. A $25 gift card from Lens Pro to Go, a surprise gift that I have to mail to your door, and a portfolio review with me. So one-on-one portfolio review, either your website or even your Flickr page, whatever you have, if you want feedback. This is the only time I'm going to be doing them during this early enrollment. So, and also you lock in the lowest price, and that ends tomorrow. If you want more details, you can go to my website, kristamiola.com, and get those. I don't want to, I want to get right to the juicy stuff today. So any questions on that, you can reach me via Facebook or krista@kristamiola.com. So that's ending tomorrow. All right. So many juicy topics I wanted to discuss. It was really hard to figure out what I wanted to give to you in this 1 hour. Some of you or most of you have read the book or reading the book. I've gotten so many great reviews. I want to say thank you so much again for all of that. It was such a bear to write. It really was. It was one of my biggest challenges to date. And the book, because I was limited to only a certain page count, and boudoir photography, there's so much to discuss. I really focused on just A to Z, how to create a stunning image or stunning set of images. Didn't talk about business at all. That is a whole separate workshop. So what we're going to do today is focus a little bit more on business. For those of you who are just getting started, this is awesome for you. For pros that have been at it a while, this is still awesome for you. I wrote it with all of you in mind. And you know, we're only going to have an hour together, so I kind of, juiced it down to the essence of what is, like, kind of most important for you to know. If, like, I only had an hour to share with you everything I think that would create the most momentum for you in your business and in your happiness in your business, that's what I'm talking about today. Because when I think of being a successful boudoir photographer, you know, you have to define it for yourself, but for me, it's, you know, enjoying what I do, having fun, being creatively fulfilled, and always growing, having happy clients, making good money, and running the business with relative ease. So that's my definition. I'm sure most of you would be nodding your heads and saying that's your definition too. And because we'll all have different ideas of what's good money or what's a happy client or what's creative fulfillment or how hard you want to work or how easy you want things to be. So those are all relative terms for you, but I think we can all agree that those aspects all contribute to what being a successful pro means. So I created this talk geared towards that, and that's exactly what my 6 weeks of the online training is all about. So we'll start off by talking about the biggest mistakes to avoid when you're getting started in being a pro boudoir photographer. And like I said, experienced pros make these all the time. I continually don't make most of them all the time, but I still suffer from a couple of these. So we're going to start with the biggest one first, shooting people for free. This is number one. I know we all do it. I know we've all done it, and some of us are still doing it. Here's the thing. There's no problem with photographing people for free until it becomes resentment in your heart, and that is the kiss of death. For a number of reasons. One, you never really get your business started. You never start earning money, but you're always busy. I was always busy and always broke, and I'm wondering, why am I always broke? I'm so, like, I do this well, everyone loves this and that, and I keep getting asked to do this. Well, it's because I wasn't charging, duh. So you will always be broke and busy if you don't start charging. And also, it sucks when people start resenting their friends, and then you really don't want to start resenting photography and not wanting to pick up your camera and dreading it because you're not being paid. So if you're in that place, you want to really steer clear of resentment. That just brings you down in so many ways. So if that's happening, here's what I suggest. One of these will resonate with you. I've tried all of them. I had a friend help me out with this. She said 100% everyone pays policy. So even if it's your mom, if you are the type who needs like things to be black and white, because once things get in a gray area, you get all screwy in your head, you need to have a blanket policy of 100% everyone that you shoot pays. And if you need to have a friends and family rate, fine, make it generous, but make it like your happy price. But everyone pays, including your mother. So if that works for you, great. Some people, this works for me also, you have a limit, like one free shoot a month. This way, you know, you're not always swamped. It's like always shooting people for free. So you only do 12 shoots a year that are free. So when someone calls you and says, I have this thing, I really need it. It's funny how friends always call when they have something they need, like tomorrow. So I have something, I really need this. I need you to photograph my home, or I need you to photograph my kid because a shoot came in, or I need pictures for my website, or whatever it is. We all know we've all been asked for everything. So if you could say, you know what, I'm happy to do that for you. I'm, you know, booked till April. I have this date available, or I'm happy to do it for you. I just can't do it right now because I'm booked. So that's worked for some people too. Or you can do a mixture of those. The other caveat I want to mention about shooting people for free, and I'm spending so much time on this one because it's a biggie, is if you're building a portfolio, totally understand. If you are just getting started and you're building a portfolio, that's something different, but here's some tips for you. You want to make it very structured and very goal-oriented. So you want to have a distinct expiration date on your portfolio building stage, right? So let's say for the next 3 months, I'm in portfolio building mode and getting the word out about me. So I'm going to schedule 12 free sessions. And it's going to be 1 hour, and, you know, just have it very structured so there's no gray area. And then this, you know, I love it because it puts pressure on you too. You are not getting let off the hook by just saying, oh, it's a portfolio shoot. Oh, well, I still need to build a portfolio. Well, I am getting my business started. These are reasons you give yourself why you, quote, unquote, should do it for free. you know, besides the I'm a nice person and I can do it and she's a friend and all those other reasons, which are all valid. The other one is, oh, well, I am still portfolio building. So I just want to say to make that a very distinct period with an expiration date, and very goal-oriented, meaning that you're shooting for you too. Like, don't do a shoot for your portfolio unless it's actually something that you want to show. And we'll talk about this more in a minute, but have, like, let's say your portfolio is going to be 20 shots. Make sure you know what 20 shots those are beforehand. Don't just do a random shoot, call it portfolio building, and not charge the person. And then you end up with, like, well, maybe I really can't use these. Maybe we should have shot in the studio, or I really hated that outfit and I would never show that. Oh, and make sure, another mistake a lot of people make in the beginning is you don't get a model release up front. If you're doing it for free for your portfolio, then they need to know that they, in trade, you are getting a model release. So you get that in advance, because some people change their mind. And again, it's fine if they change their mind if it's an ordinary client. I don't require people sign a model release at all by any means. But if you're doing it for free for portfolio, make sure you get the model release. So I'm hoping that's enough and I can move on. I know a lot of people struggle with this. Some of you are way past that and it's in your rearview mirror and you're so relieved. Once you start charging people and you start saying no, it becomes easier and easier. And those two suggestions I have are kind of like a bridge to make it easier for you by limiting one per month or just having 100% everyone pays policy and you can have a friend and family rate. Okay, moving on. Focusing on the little things in business, focusing on minutiae instead of the important things. I totally agree that God is in the details, and I'm a package design nut myself, but it's important in the beginning especially to just make decisions about your business card, your logo, your website, and keep moving. You need to focus on the quality of your photography and improving and getting better. And defining your ideal client, finding where she's hanging out, communicating to her, and thrilling her. Those two things should be 80% of your business. The other 20% is important. I don't want to, you know, say it isn't, but in the beginning especially, don't get caught up. What are my colors? What are my fonts? Should I have two websites or one? Those are important questions, but do some research, make a decision, and move forward. I spent an afternoon on branding, in the beginning, total one-day deal. I never had a business card. I didn't get a business card till last year, and I've been in business since 2004. So don't worry about all the little things in the beginning. Those will all come, and you'll have time to refine those, and you'll evolve. But it's important to kind of make those decisions and keep moving and focus on the big things. If you're focusing on the quality of your photography and defining your ideal client and reaching and thrilling her, you're going to be a success. In fact, I was so disorganized in the beginning. It's definitely one of my weaknesses. So, you know, packaging and all that jazz, it's awesome and fun, but, you know, keep focused and moving forward on what really matters and what's going to propel you forward. Okay, mistake number three, too much overhead in the beginning. So why put pressure on yourself? You don't need to start out with a studio. You don't need monthly expenses or big, you know, lots of equipment. I'd rather you start building your confidence by turning a profit easier. Does that make sense? As soon as you start seeing money come in and that you're turning a profit, you're going to really build your confidence and create more momentum. So if you start off having all these expenses, it's kind of hard. You're like, you know, crawling up the mountain. So here's what I recommend. You don't really need these big things, I think, when you're first starting. Totally, you can argue with me, absolutely. This is completely my opinion. You don't need a studio. You don't need a ton of wardrobe and props. You just need key items. You don't need a ton of samples. You don't even need a monthly, you know, pro lab. You don't need studio software. You don't need, like, any of that, really, truly. You need some key samples, one or two things. You need key wardrobe staples that work on everyone. If you have the book, you know what those are. You know, a men's white shirt, a Sheer Teddy, just those few things go a long way. I do believe you need a designer. If you suck at design, then you need a designer for your logo and website. You have to look pro. It's super, super important to differentiate yourself from the people who aren't really serious or invested in it, who are just there, you know, to charge $99 and try it out. If you're really serious about this, I would really consider investing in a designer who reflects your investment in this business. So again, that one might, people might argue with me on that, but I really feel like it's very important because you're a photographer, you're selling your aesthetic. And if design isn't part of your skill set, then you need to find someone who is. And maybe, and this is another tip, trade for that. Trade as much as possible. In the beginning is a great time when you should be trading. I still trade to this day for everything. I love trading. But, you know, trade for pro hair and makeup to do on your shoots. Rent gear instead of buy it, another important one. So keep your cost really low. Turn a profit. Build your confidence. And then add on as you can afford. Okay, and mistake number four, over-equipping yourself with gear. Okay, this one is one of the two I didn't do. Over-equipping yourself with gear, only if it strips your resources that are better spent elsewhere or if it trumps your focus on creating awesome moments to shoot. So if you get tripped up on equipment because you don't really know it well because you've got your studio lighting and different modifiers and you've got a new camera, you've got four different lenses and you've got a second light and you're not really sure how to work at all yet, then you're not really going to be focused on creating an awesome moment with some sensual movement and really connecting with your client. So I'd rather you just start off with one camera and one lens and natural light and really get yourself going. Or if you know how to use all that stuff, but if it would strip your resources that would be better spent on something else, then again, I think it's a mistake. I think you want to pay a logo designer. I think you want to hire models and get the portfolio that you dream of and increase your education and a whole bunch of other stuff that I would recommend if you do have all that gear already, like spending money on samples, et cetera. Okay, mistake number five, doing everything. Okay, I know in the beginning sometimes you're like, well, I'm not sure what I want to do. I really like weddings. I was thinking maybe I do seniors and boudoir, but pets are always fun too. And I do families as well. So it's a little schizophrenic, and you're not going to really have a niche. You're going to be really spread out. And it is true that people really want to hire someone who's a specialist. So at the beginning, you may want to try a few things out when you're trying to figure out what you love, and that's totally fine. What I'm saying to not do is have a website that shows six different things like weddings, families, seniors, events, commercial, pets, boudoir, and everything else under the sun. There are some things that go very hand in hand. Like I think family portrait photography and boudoir really go hand in hand nicely. I was a family photographer when I started boudoir, and all of my moms became my clients. So I had immediate clientele, which was awesome. Weddings and boudoir go hand in hand really nicely also because the bride can be your client. So there's certain things that go hand in hand with boudoir. So I would gravitate towards focusing on two at most. Number six, trying to please everyone. So this isn't just when you're starting out. This is kind of always. As photographers, we're really nice people. We're people pleasers just on the basis of what we do. Like we don't love photography for the art of it. We want to create moments for people. We want to give them that gift. We want to say, this is how we see you. This is how beautiful you are. This is how much you're loved by your family. So we are people pleasers for sure. But trying to please everyone is just a recipe for disaster. First of all, it's absolutely 100% impossible. There is no person alive on this planet or company that pleases everyone. Every single one of us and every single company has their critics and people that hate them and don't like what they do. And that's that's totally fine because we're all very different. We're not for everybody. So don't spend so much effort trying to win over people that just are not for you. And gosh, I could talk an hour just on this, but I'll boil it down to, say, for instance, if you're a male and a female's like, I'm not sure, I'm kind of more comfortable with a woman, that's not your client. She's always just going to be more comfortable with a woman. That has nothing to do with you at all. Some women want female doctors, and so that doesn't mean the male doctor is any less professional or any less talented. So that's just not your ideal client, so move on. You know, there's a lot of ways to define your ideal client. We're going to talk about that more later in the call. But just know that not everyone who calls you or emails you, do you want a book? So don't really bang your head against a wall that you're not booking everyone, or that there's some people saying no, or that this person had a problem with what you did. You'll learn from them, and you'll learn either how you'd want to refine your process or how you want to refine your definition of an ideal client. I'm going to try not to make myself laugh today. All right, so trying to please everyone in the beginning especially, but everyone does that. So let's not do that in 2013. Number 7, doing everything the client wants. So this piggybacks on the last one. This is harder for newer photographers than more experienced pros, because once you've got experience, you kind of know what works and what doesn't, and you trust yourself more. In the beginning, you just want to do what the client wants because you think she'll love the results more, but that's not the case. So let's say the client wants, you know, to do her own hair and makeup because she's great at it, okay? But she doesn't necessarily know how to do hair and makeup for camera. Or she wants to, you know, bring 10 different outfits and insist on shooting them all. Well, you know from experience, that's really going to sacrifice quality for quantity. And you know what photographs well and what doesn't. So some things just don't look good on camera, or they're not flattering to her. So just a way around that is, if she really, really, really wants to shoot in one thing, I'll, like, limit all of her items to about 3, and then 2, like, if we have the time, so 3 to 5. And then if she insists on something that really doesn't flatter her, you're not going to say that. You're not going to say, that really doesn't do anything for you, honey. You're going to shoot it quickly and move on. And also other things that clients ask for that, you know, you shouldn't necessarily do just because they want it, is certain retouching requests. If you don't believe in changing, altering someone so drastically that they look like a different person, then you just don't do it. But it's up to you to make that clear, and this is our next mistake, not being clear about expectations. So, you know, retouching is one. It's just kind of, it's definitely something I'm dealing with right now, being clear about what you do and what you don't do. And this will be totally based on your own policy. Maybe you really want it looking awesome and will do whatever they ask because that's their dream and that's how they want to look, or whatever your reason is for that. And, or you're on the other side of the spectrum and really don't want to do much because you believe in a woman's natural beauty, or you're somewhere in between. Whatever it is, you need to let them know. And then also, this is something I learned from last year. I'm learning constantly. You want to let them know that if they wore a bracelet during the entire shoot and didn't want to take it off because they know we can retouch it, then that would be an additional expense. We're not going to, you know, remove a bracelet off of every single photo just because we include retouching. Anyway, be clear about what they should expect from you, and not just retouching. I just use that as an example, but from everything, from timing, when they can receive their images, what to expect when they're on set, all of that. That will save you a lot of headaches, trust me. Number 9, doing too much or not enough in post-production. Okay, this is really the only one that's kind of a creative thing that has something to do with photography, but not business. But I just wanted to mention it because I keep seeing it a lot lately. So just a quick note, when you're first starting out, you tend to do, you're going crazy experimenting with your presets and your Photoshop actions, and that's great. But what I would recommend is doing all that experimenting in your own time, on your own people, with, you know, test images. Don't do that with your clientele, because your brand is going to get muddy. You're going to be all over the board. And, you're not going to like those images when you look back on them. So try and keep them either like without too much post-production on them, meaning enhancements and presets and stuff. Or sometimes, you know, you don't do enough. You just show them straight out of camera. So you want to put a little bit of shine on it, like either whatever it is for you. Maybe you need to dodge and burn a little bit, or you want to put like 10% of a beautiful action on there, just a little bit to take it to the next level. So it's not straight out of camera, but it's got a little bit of refinement to it in terms of even just smoothing out her skin. Okay, number 10, your pricing either doesn't exist or it doesn't make sense. And we'll talk more about this at the end of the call when we discuss how to increase sales. But if you are just starting out, or sometimes people have been in business for like 2 years or so, they just still don't have pricing. It's kind of in their head, or, you know, they just will do it based on whatever the person asks for. That's really, really difficult. You're making your life more just harder than it needs to be. You're not going to really get clients if you don't have a price list. I just believe in that. I just believe as much as you need a camera, you need a price list. I just think psychically, clients aren't going to come to you. You're not going to start making money if you don't have a price list. Does that make sense? So even if you need to write it down right now on a post-it, I want you to have a price list. And secondly, it needs to make sense. So again, we'll talk more about this, but it needs to be your happy price, not the least that you would accept begrudgingly. Well, I guess I'll do it for $200. No, that doesn't make you happy. And if your highest package is the most expensive, that should be the one where you make the most money, because I've seen that mistake a lot. So again, we'll talk more a little bit about pricing when we get to increasing sales. Mistake number 11, not doing in-person sales. So, again, we'll talk more about this one as well. But if you're not doing in-person sales, woo, do I have good news for you. Start doing them. Selling. I love selling. If you don't, that's fine. We'll talk about that later. Then you should hire someone who does. But you or someone you hire should be doing in-person sales. It's the best service you can give to your client, and it's the best experience you can give to your client. For me, it's the most gratifying part of it. You're sharing, you know, images. You're seeing that they love them. And then you're getting paid well. So do in-person sales. Number 12, you don't have samples, or you have samples, but you don't really believe in the product. So, again, you don't need to spend a ton of money on the biggest and best samples, but you do need to have something. So have one album or have one canvas. Whatever you most believe in, whatever goes with your brand, you need to have a sample. But you also need to believe in the products. If you think canvas is tacky and dated and is going to be so you know, last year or so, 2005, then don't carry them. But if you love them and your clients love them, great, then carry those. Okay, mistake number 13. This is a biggie, not being you. So this takes many forms. So this is mistake 14, 15, 16 too. You know, instead of taking time to infuse yourself into your brand, your process, your photography, and we'll talk more about that later when it comes to loving what you do more, you do the following, like copying a style you love. So, you know, we all like, oh, wow, I really love that. She's so good at this, and I really, you know, want to emulate that style. That's great. That's great. Start practicing there if you love it. But really take the time to, I would say, consider what you love first, away from what anyone else is doing. So I hesitate to even say, to even look out into what other people are doing. I started kind of in a vacuum. I didn't know what anyone was doing. I just kind of did my own thing, and I think it kind of worked for me. So I would say you can emulate a style, or why don't you blend styles for those people who feel like they really want to take a style and run with it. But I would love if you just took a step back and, you know, shut your computer, stop looking at whatever everyone else is doing, and then just go walk out into the world and see what your eye is attracted to, what you love and appreciate about women, what visuals that you're drawn to, and infuse that into what you do. Start there. And then number 15, worrying about your quote-unquote competitors. There really is no competitor when you start being you and bringing you to your work, not only your style, but also your brand and how you do things and what you offer. But, you know, some people spend a lot of energy and time on, you know, the woman down the street who named her boudoir business something similar to hers, or the studio in town did a Living Social deal, or so-and-so is offering a CD for $99. Or, you know, so-and-so, even though they're across the country and they've been doing it for 20 years, they're so good and I suck. None of that has anything to do with you. And the sooner that you just focus on you, the sooner you'll be happy and making money and developing your own style. All right, enough on that. 16, not showing what you want to shoot. So when you're building a portfolio, you don't really want to think, oh, what will most clients want to do, or what would they be intimidated by? I don't want to show that. Start thinking about what you love and what you want to do, and that's what you should show. So if you don't want to be shooting in a studio, don't show studio work. It's also important to show your ideal client. If you don't want to be photographing 20-somethings, then don't show them in your portfolio. If you want more mature women, make sure to photograph them and showcase them. If all you want to do is nude and fine art nude, then you don't need to showcase women, you know, wearing any clothing if you're not interested in doing that. I know this seems really simple, but I, for some reason, when people start getting a business and they've got to show a portfolio online of what they do, they start thinking what other people want. But that's not a way to create a business that you love. What you show is what people will expect from you. So show what you want to shoot. Okay, and number 17, not clearly communicating your brand. So this is all about knowing who you are, why you do what you do, which is super important. Why are you interested in boudoir photography? Why do you do it? Why is it worthy of your time? Who you love to serve, equally important. What your style is, what your quality is, your standards, your pricing, your company culture, even if it's just you and you're a one-woman or one-man show. You want to be able to clearly communicate this. This is all your brand. This is what the client can expect from this experience, both in product and service. So everything you do, everything you say, every visual you show, all the text on your website, how you answer the phone, how you talk to them, this is how what they can expect from you. So you need to be very clear on who you are and why you do what you do and who you serve and why you love to serve them and what your style is and what your quality standards are and what your pricing is. You have to be clear on all of that first and know those things and define them for yourself. And then you need to communicate that through your website, through your process, through your products, through your phone conversations with them. So hopefully that all makes sense to you. I'm going to move on. Probably going to run a little bit long, but I want to start talking about how to be in love with what you do. And I'm going to take a quick second and check the cues that have come in to see if anyone had a question before I move on. Simple, simple, simple. Okay, a lot of you want to know about pricing. Awesome. We'll talk about that in a minute. And we did have a guy who said, you know, some women photographers get more business simply because they are female. Help, please. Oh, Vince, I hear ya. I know a lot of dudes feel the same way. Because women's husbands or boyfriends is not willing. I totally understand you. But you know what? You will find your client. There are women out there. I know so many men photographers who are doing so well and without a hiccup. Those women that, you know, simply because you're a male won't shoot with you, don't lose sleep over it. Don't bang your head about it. Just keep moving on. And keep advertising what you do. Keep showcasing your phenomenal photography. Keep hiring people. And if it helps, you definitely should have a female present for sure. But I have, you know, if you got the book, there's tons of tips in there for men. I don't want to get distracted too much, but I just wanted to give you a little shout out because I could just feel your pain and your question. Okay, a lot of questions. You know what? I'm going to take these questions. I'm going to answer these on my Facebook fan page because there are a lot of very specific things that are not part of our topics for today. So, you know, about boudoir parties and stuff like that. So happy to answer all of these for everyone. There's like hundreds, so that's awesome. But, you know, look on my Facebook fan page for that. And it's Krista Miola Pictures. Okay. So back to how to be in love with what you do as a pro boudoir photographer. First of all, this is really important. Spread the love. Use your talent to do some good. So it's not all about being in business and making money. You need, if you're truly in this business to serve women, then photograph women who need to build their self-esteem. Photograph, help certain local charities. You know, you can help their fundraising efforts by offering to shoot or document an event. You can donate to women's interests, like I Love Fair Girls. You can, you know, choose to empower teens or work with women who are breast cancer survivors. My clientele is mostly 40-plus soccer moms, and I love them. But every now and then, I like to photograph someone who there's no way could afford me, but who I really think could benefit so much from a shoot. So I have an ongoing list of people, and I always, just throughout my daily life, there's people that I know, and it's like an honor and a blessing and so touching and moving every time I do it. So these are my free shoots. And it really reinforces why I do what I do, and it totally makes me happy. Sometimes the business can be a bit harsh and be a bit of a grind. And
the moderator has left the conference.
Okay, folks, sorry about that. Apparently, I was dropped for a minute there. So I'm having my studio manager tell me where I was when we left off. Or if you guys want to raise your hand by pressing star 2, you can press star 2 and let me know where I lost you, or you lost me, actually. So if you are listening to the call, press star 2 and let me know where. Okay, here we go. Charles in Collinsville. Hey, Charles.
Oh, actually, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Okay, it's not a Charles, it's a Rona. I don't really have a question, but I kind of lost you when you were going to start to talk about prices, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where you guys dropped me. So I'm going to raise someone else's hand in Seattle. Seattle, Washington. Oh, using your work to do good. So you didn't lose too much then. You just dropped me. Awesome. So it's talking about spreading the love, right? Seattle, Washington. All right.
Yes.
Yes, you're on.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to somebody else. Right when you were talking about, like, make the free shoots, you're...
Okay, cool. I'm back on.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Thanks so much. All right, thanks for joining.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Oh, sorry. All right, awesome. Okay, cool. That wasn't that big a hiccup. We only lost a couple minutes. Okay, cool. So, yes, using your talent to do some good, photographing women who, you know, you really need, who really need us. That's why we're in this. And I totally got all choked up, but it's just so gratifying to do this and see women move to tears and see their lives change. And there's nothing better. And if you're going to do shoots for free, that's who to do it for, the people that really need it. And I was saying that it's, you know, it's just as fulfilling as doing a client who's celebrating her 20th anniversary with her husband, but it's different because these women can't afford it. And anyway, I could go on and on about it, but the one way to be so in love with what you do is to make sure you are using your talent to spread the love. And that could be one-on-one with a woman who needs it, or it could be volunteering for a charity to shoot pictures for their fundraising efforts. So there's so many ways you can help. And also you can donate proceeds to a women's interest group that you believe in. So I've done all of those, and sometimes it resonates with me more when I'm one-on-one. That's kind of just who I am. I need to connect with people one-on-one. So that's what I enjoy the most. Okay, and then designing your business, number two. So taking time out to thoughtfully create a business and a process you love. Sometimes when we are super busy, which we all are, we start just saying yes to stuff because we haven't really thought about it, and we'll retouch images on our own even though we hate it just because they're due tomorrow. Or, you know, we just do things because we haven't really thought about them, and we're just kind of reacting to what people ask us for. So we've all done this. I've done this. But it's really important once you have a moment, especially at the beginning of the year, this is a perfect time, and I'm going to talk about an exercise I do at the end of the call that really helps this. Everything that you do should be built on what's meaningful to you and what your beliefs are. No one else's. So you can answer any question that you have about your business just by checking in with what's meaningful to you and what do you believe in. So when someone approached me recently about saying, do I do a boutique business with fewer clients, or do I do higher volume because that might be more affordable to more people, like what would sell better? So I don't think you want to ask that question about what would sell better. It's just what would you love? What is more meaningful to you? For me, I have a boutique business because I love going deeper with fewer. Like I wish I had more time to do high volume, but that I would sacrifice that connection and the customization that I do with as a boutique studio. But if you really are more it's more satisfying to you and you love it more, if you reach more people and are more affordable to people, then there's nothing right or wrong about it. There's just what's meaningful to you. another question. Do you sell the CD? That's totally answered by you and if you believe in it. For me, I absolutely sell the CD because I believe in owning your own, you know, memories. I also don't want to be totally responsible, 100% responsible for them, so I absolutely sell them. You know, but you have to make sure you temper that with making sure you're not just doing a turn and burn if that's your belief. Another question, should you show unretouched photos or how much retouching do you do? So again, that's just what you believe in. For me, I don't believe in showing unretouched photos. I'm a woman myself. I don't want to see unretouched pictures. So I just believe in that. So again, my business and everything I do is built around what I believe or what's meaningful to me, what I sell, the product, albums. I love albums. I like, you know, the storytelling. I like the binding. I'm a freak about them. I love them. So that's what I want to sell. I don't want to sell matted prints necessarily, you know, so I don't include that in a package. I include the albums in my packages. So anyway, all of those decisions, including how much time do you spend with them, how many consults do they get, all of these questions, everything you do can be answered just by checking in with yourself and what's meaningful to you and building your business on your beliefs. And again, we get busy, so sometimes it's hard to do that. So make sure you take the time to do that. And number three, only work with who you love. This kind of is common sense, but somehow we wind up working for people or with people, like such as vendors, that we don't particularly love, and it kind of makes our business a drag. So if you want to love what you do, you want to really know who you want to serve. Now, I've been approached by escorts, soccer moms, military wives. You know, there's so many different clientele categories, let's say. But, you know, you have to know who resonates with you. For me, I love shooting the soccer moms. I'm not against shooting escorts. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're someone who just appreciates the female body and you want to just do that and you're not interested in telling a story or whatever else, then that's gold. That's fine. That's awesome. Then you will love what you do as long as you know that and work with those women. If you love the military and want to honor people who serve our country and photograph their wives, awesome. That's great too. So it's just knowing who you love to work with. But it's not only those categories, because I work across those categories, the bulk of them being soccer moms, but it's also the type of person. So again, this is all about carving out your ideal client. What makes them who they are? Like, what are their personality qualities? I mean, it's not an ideal client isn't one that just throws around cash. For me, it's like art lovers. They're grateful. They're kind. They appreciate what you do. They want to invest their time in this, and they know and appreciate the quality of it. So, again, I can go on and on, but the more detailed you are with who you want to work for, the better chance you have of reaching that person, and the more you'll enjoy it. And this also includes vendors and companies. So if you hate your lab, fire them. Like, it makes me laugh. I don't understand how some people like complain about their lab or their album maker for years and they just don't get rid of them. You know, I won't name the company, but there was one lab. I was just like, God, their customer service was horrible. And I'm like, why? I know I like this one product, but screw that. I'm not working with them anymore. So I went elsewhere and I just like my job a whole lot better because you're going to be working with these people a lot. So I love the companies I work with now, and I'm thrilled to, like, extol their virtues, like Colorati, who does my retouching, Lens Pro to Go, who rented me equipment for years, and everyone else, including the actions I use, Totally Rab, they're awesome. So a shout-out to all of them. But anyhow, so only work with people you love. Don't be afraid to fire clients, fire vendors. You know, again, you're not here to please everyone, and, you know, you're not for everybody, so let's make it easier and more enjoyable for the client as well as yourself, and only work with people you love. Okay, next, eliminate tasks you hate or dread. I know, again, this seems like a no-brainer, but we resist it for some reason. Or I've been asked a lot of questions, how do I know what to outsource and what not to? I've been asked that question a lot. So here's the thing. Find out what you love doing and what you're great at doing. And now where those two bubbles intersect is what you should do. And you should outsource the rest if you can afford it, or you could build it into your pricing, or eliminate it completely from your process. For instance, I dread doing the same thing over and over and over again. So that's why I don't really have a studio set. You know, I don't have certain furniture I shoot over and over again. I would be bored to tears. What else? I'm not great at album design. I kind of love it, but I'm not great at it. So, again, I don't do that. I outsource it. I'm great at retouching, but I don't really love it. So I have someone else do it. So that's kind of how I decide how to outsource. It has to be both. I love it, and I'm great at it, not one or the other. Another thing is, if you hate selling, I want to mention this now, if you're not doing in-person sales because you don't love it, if you kind of just resist it because it makes you feel salesy, etc., that's a whole other booty call, by the way. Love talking about sales because I want you to embrace it. But just know that you can outsource that. You can find an enthusiastic part-timer who you put on commission who's thrilled to sell for you. So, you know, don't just stick your images online like at Smug Mug or something and give them 2 weeks to pick out their prints. That's not a way to A, be happy, or B, be a success and make a lot of money. Plus, it's not enjoyable. So if you really hate selling, if you hate selling, take my online workshop and we'll talk about it. But no, you need to find some enthusiastic part-timer. Or outsource the tasks you dread or hate. Next, collaborating. Make sure to involve pros as much as possible because your work will be better and it's going to be more fun and it's going to keep it interesting. So a lot of people, including myself, worked on my own for so long, and it just is so much more enjoyable. So this section that we're talking about right now is making your job more fun and being in love with what you do. And sometimes being your own, you know, own show, own person running the show and doing everything, you don't realize it, but it's not fun. So involve pros as much as you can, stylists, assistants, or just someone who you want to, you know, a buddy, another photographer, and you do a joint shoot together, or you assist each other. It's not people you necessarily have to hire and spend money on. So I'm going to move kind of quickly through the rest. We're definitely going to go a little over time, but I want to definitely talk about how to triple sales and give you one exercise to do today that will bring you to the next level. Okay, so staying inspired. This is for the experienced people. The newbies have no problem staying inspired, I think, usually. But if you want to continue to love what you do and continue to grow, you have to stay inspired. You have to challenge yourself, just like everything in life. So I think it's important to, if you need to get out of the day-to-day grind or you're stuck doing the same old thing, a lot of people took the online workshop last year. We're just pros who are just so stale, so burnt, not feeling like they're making the money they deserve, but just not creatively fulfilled either. So need to make sure that you do things, like I said earlier, do things the way you want to do them, shoot what you want to shoot, infuse yourself into it, but also start assigning yourself assignments that are fulfilling for you to make them fun. If you've always wanted to do fine art nudes, but like your clientele really isn't into nudes, then just do that for yourself. Hire a model. Shoot a series of self-portraits. I love doing photo essays. Start with a title like Dirty and do a photo essay on that. I love doing storyboards. So, like, just a woman and a blanket and, like, create as much variety as you can. So I love to challenge myself and make myself little assignments like this. I have a whole list of things, and some of these will be included in the online workshop, but you know, one is like create 10 shots that tell the story of your favorite piece of music. or like recreate a movie that you love in stills. It's like there's so many things that you can do. But if you want to stay inspired, you know, go out there and find your inspiration, not necessarily in other photographers' work, but in cinema or movies or stories or wherever you pull yours from. I happen to love cinema, and I love a fine art painting. So that's where I always look to for inspiration. And then just women, talking to women, looking at women, the woman sitting next to me, the woman I'm having coffee with. What do I love about and appreciate about her? What is beautiful about her? I love her kinky afro. I love, like, the dimple in her smile. Like, I'm constantly looking at women and what I love and appreciate about that person. So just as you move through your day, that's a great way to stay inspired on a daily basis as a boudoir photographer. Okay, let's start talking about sales. How to triple your sales at each stage of the process. Before the shoot, this is in the book, and if you are a workshop grad, you know this by heart. You need to get to know your client. You need to ask them all of those questions on the questionnaire beforehand. You want to know what they love about their body, what their husband loves, what gets them excited about a shoot, what are some of their favorite things, what are their fantasy shoots, what do they think is sensual or beautiful. What's their life like right now? What are they? Why are they doing a shoot right now? What are they hoping to get out of it? All of these questions. You are asking these questions to build rapport with your client, build trust with your client, but also, and this is where the sales part comes in, you're doing this to get your shot list. You want details. You want to ask why. So if she loves her abs, why do you love your abs? This is going to affect how you shoot them. Seriously. And this also gets her excited, gets her invested in it. She feels like she's part of the collaboration when you guys start talking about the creative direction and what we're going to shoot and why. She's going to love the experience so much. I've had clients who not only say they love, love, love their photos, what they always pull out, which was so memorable for them, was, wow, I love the experience so much, this whole thing from A to Z. I felt like it was a collaboration, and I see how I contributed to it. So that's so gratifying for me because it's not all about me. It's not what I think is beautiful. It's not what I think is sexy. So really, I'm just the lens. That's all I am. And I'm getting my entire shot list from them before the shoot. I want to know as much as I can. And you keep talking to her, keep asking these questions until you hear her get excited. Because at first she might be like, well, I don't know. I never thought about that. Or I don't know. I don't think I do. You just keep going, keep picking, keep asking questions. And then all of a sudden you'll hit on something. And this happens every time where she gets excited and then she won't stop talking about it. She's like, oh, yeah, and then we could do this. And the reason why I'm really doing it, yeah, I guess it was because back in the day, my husband and I used to be flirty and silly. But since the kid, you know, I've lost that. And so blah, blah, blah. You'll find a spot where it'll hit them and they'll start getting excited. So pay attention to that. Write it all down and use this when you're shooting them. Okay, so on the shoot. If you know me, you know I really extol the virtues of creating variety. I talk about this in the book. I talk about it in the workshop. Variety, variety, variety. It's the most important thing to do on the set that will influence your sales is create variety. So important note, you want to make sure you focus on quality, not just quantity. So you don't want to sacrifice quality for quantity. I'm not saying shoot a lot because you want a bunch of different stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be sure to move on faster than you think you can. Like you, a lot of newbies especially, a lot of people keep, myself included, I did this too. You start shooting and all of a sudden you find something you love and you keep shooting it and you don't move on. You have 50 photographs that are very similar because, wow, that was hot. Right, but like you got to move on because you got to create variety. And ways to do so are just simple, sometimes as simply as an eye line or a gesture. It's in their expression and emotion. It's just styling or sets. So you want to make sure you have different sets and a different wardrobe and hairstyle for each. You want different post-production on each, maybe different lenses. You want to have a variety of close-ups versus full-body shots. You want to have some that are anonymous. So we don't know who it is, or we want to see everything and her face. We want motion or stills. We want different colors of nudity. So we want full nudes, partial nudes, implied nudes, depending on their comfort level, obviously. Then we want to highlight different body parts. I can talk all day about this. There's so many ways to create variety, and I just want to make sure that you start pushing yourself to move on faster. You know, I'm not saying rush yourself. I'm just saying if you nail it, move on, create more variety, start looking around your set to how you can make the next one different, how you can make this set different than the next one, as much as possible. Okay, next, the money shots. So I have these things called the money shots. They're my 10 best-selling shots based on what every single woman loves, and they all buy these. But you can also just know what the money shots are for yourself if you pay attention during the first call or when she shows up on set. So if she says, oh, I bought these shoes just for the shoe because I think they, you know, go really well, and you don't photograph the shoes, you're missing a money shot. If you don't, for instance, photograph her from, like, the shoulders up, then you're missing a money shot because you're missing something that she could use as a Facebook profile shot, for instance. So when I say money shots, I'm not just talking about my key 10 bestsellers. I'm talking about the ones you know she's going to want. So when you are in the questionnaire talking to her, but also on the set, you know, when she arrives and she's talking to you in the makeup chair, start making note of what the money shots are. Pay attention to what she's saying. And then next way to triple your sales during the session is to make sure you tell full stories with some details. So wedding photographers are great at photographing details. Portrait photographers aren't necessarily in that practice. So, for instance, if you're going to do, let's say, her in the shower or taking a bath, like some wet look images, make sure you shoot some details of, like, you know, the faucet that says hot, you know, or the steamed up glass. There's, you know, beaded up water on the small of her back, you know, ta-da-da-da-da, tons. I mean, I don't need to go through the whole story, but make sure it's a complete story and you shoot those details. And a lot of times I'm shooting details while she's in the makeup chair or while she's getting her hair or makeup adjusted or changing, or I show up early. So I don't necessarily do them during the session. I do them sometimes before, during, and after. Okay, and the next is shooting series. Like bring a prop like my cat mask that I love and shoot a series with the cat mask. Or if she's a smoker, shoot a series with her smoking. Or, you know, if she has this gorgeous necklace, there's this awesome series of Marilyn Monroe with a necklace and just like 20 or 30 shots and they're just all gorgeous. But like think of things in terms of series. Again, this isn't a full story. It's kind of a smaller version. It's a series. So the reason why I'm saying all this is because you can see that it'll be hard for a woman to choose just one picture because the series kind of makes it, right? Or one picture out of the bathtub storyline, or just one of the money shots, or just one of all of the variety you created. So again, this is going to transition us into after the shoot. If you want to triple your sales, you're going to edit tight. You're going to make sure no two are alike, that you have a complete set and story. You've got every expression. You've done your body shots and your portraits, and you're going to edit for emotion. And when she takes a look at your, say, 35 to 50 maximum, that's what I do, images on boudoir, she's not going to be able to live without one of them because they all work together to tell a complete story of who she is, what she loves about herself, why she's doing this shoot, and you're going to, you know, take into account everything you learned from her during the first phone call. Also, after the shoot, you want to make sure you reinforce the positive experience. Please don't underestimate this. You want to give her a call that night after the shoot and tell her, like, how much fun you had, how beautiful she looked, and be specific to say, I took a sneak peek at the pictures, and I'm loving, you know, the necklace series. Those are so far my favorite, and you looked amazing, and I had the best time. It was so hysterical when you ran naked out of the hotel or in the hallway or blah, blah, blah. You want to be specific. And underline that word, specific about the things you love. You don't want to just be like, yeah, it was great. I had a good time. Your photos look gorgeous. It's like, well, yeah, you say that to everyone. You want to be really specific and don't lie. Tell her what you really did enjoy about that, Or maybe it was a really difficult shoot and you guys were laughing about how whatever it was. So be very specific, but you do want to call her that night. And I make this joke all the time, but it's so true. It's just good manners. You saw her naked or half naked. She deserves a phone call. She's probably sitting at home worrying about you staring at her naked butt on your, you know, 20-inch monitor. So trust me, give the girl a call that night. And I always see it's just part of who I am. I like to call. You could send an email, but I think call is more personal and it's just nicer. And it's just saying, you know, I looked at the images. I did a sneak peek. They look great. Here's what I love about them. And here's what I loved about the shoot. And then I always send an email during post-production when I'm still editing the images. I'll just say, just so you know, guess who I'm editing right now? And I am loving the ones where da, 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 da. And I'm specific about what I love. And then at the sales session, I recap, you know, now that I've seen them all and put them together in a certain way, I kind of just very short and sweet tell them what I really loved about her, I loved about the shoot, and what I love about her pictures. And then without further ado, I just show them to her. So speaking of, that's in-person sales. So I want you to move heaven and earth to do in-person sales, even if they live an hour away. What I've started doing, because all of my clientele, since I've moved all over the world, when I was in L.A., I had a studio and I did in-person sales and loved it. It was so convenient and awesome. And then I moved to Italy, and then I moved to New York, and all of my clients are not where I live. They all fly in, which is awesome, or I fly there, which is even more awesome. So I tend to step up my production line and do the sales session 2 days after the shoot, or so I could do it in person, or I will do a Skype session. So it's still kind of in person. We chat face-to-face. I tell them everything that I would say normally in person, and then I share my screen and we do their slideshow. Now, this is so not as good as actually being in person, but I definitely have made that a part of what I do just because I'm now photographing really busy women who either don't have a couple days to hang out in New York or, you know, I'm shooting people from all over the world, so it's just physically not possible. But again, I try my best to do the sales session in person. And then make sure you have a no-brainer price list. So here are my quick tips for you. Want to keep it simple and offer a la carte packages and, a la carte items and packages. I always have a small, medium, and big package. The medium is always the best value. It's what I most believe in and I most want to sell to them, and it's priced to sell. And then I think it's always good to let people know what the most popular package is and what the best value package is. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not, because it just seems people always want to know that. So you could say the complete package is our most popular package. It happens to also be the best value. It's the one I most love to sell because it's the most complete, because it has an album as well as a CD included. So simply said, that's pretty much what I do. So I think if you can keep it as simple and no-brainer as that, you'll really increase your sales because you'll have them make a decision right there on the spot. So a lot of questions are, how do you make them decide and order right away? Well, it's by, A, doing it in person, whether it's, you know, a Skype appointment. It's an appointment. It's a set time that we're doing it. It's like, I'm not putting these online for you to take 2 weeks and make a decision and never get to it and then want to extend it. Then you come back a year later. I know this only because of all the students I teach. So I've got not only my own experience, but I have all of their experience as well. So I know what tends to happen. So you want to make an appointment with them. Again, whether it's actually sitting next to them or over Skype or something similar. And the best way to get them to order right then and there is to make it a no-brainer. Keep it simple. Don't have a lot of decisions. Don't start asking what color cover they want or if they want this, that. And don't worry about the details. Get the order in for the product. And then you can say, okay, then we're going to design your album. We're going to take a crack at it. You have unlimited changes. We'll design it via email for you. And then we can decide about the cover and all that other stuff. And I always say, and that's the fun part. So the first step is deciding which package you want. So would you like the complete package or the keepsake package? So you give them a choice and you ask them a point blank question. And I really want to say it's really as simple as that. And a lot of people get caught up when it comes to selling and or pricing, but just consider it. And I think I said this during Creative Live Workshop. It's like mustard on your sandwich. You're asking them if they want mustard on their sandwich. It's nothing more heavy than that just because it's money. You want to know if they want mustard or ketchup or whatever. So you just make it as matter-of-fact as that. So I want to end off by talking to you about a exercise I do at the end of every year to take my business to the next level. I also do it in my personal life, which is a lot more fun, actually, but I separate. So first I do in life, and then I do, okay, what about my photography business? So I ask myself a series of questions, and this is totally part Tony Robbins exercise and part just me. So I love Tony Robbins. If you know me, I think he's a genius, and I've taken all of his, gone to all of his events and all of his CDs, and I highly recommend them. So this is based on one of his. So number one, I asked myself, what did I love about my photography business in 2012? What were the extraordinary moments? What lit me up? If you're already in business, you can ask, what did your clients love and rave about? But for everyone, ask yourself, which of these things do I want to duplicate in 2013? So what were like the magic moments? Think about what really got you going and got you juiced up. What brought a tear to your eye? What were you so proud of? Or what did you like enjoy so much you didn't even realize you were working? And then you need to ask yourself, what of those do you want to bring into the new year? Like, how can you create even more of that? It's like, well, wow, that was kind of an accident, and I loved it and had so much fun. So I'm going to make that that's a new session that I do now, or that's a new way of doing things. And then conversely, number two, ask yourself, well, what was challenging in 2012? What freaking sucked? What did I hate? What did I struggle with? What did I dread? And then what did you learn by going through these experiences? And why were these lessons incredibly valuable to you? And more importantly, what would you need to do, be, have, or change in order to overcome these challenges? So for me, just because it's on the top of my mind today, is retouching. For instance, what sucked for me? I felt like a couple of my clients, because I didn't set clear expectations, so total mistake on my part, kept asking for retouching, like, you know, one at a time. So again, these weren't boudoir clients, by the way, I should add, because I show boudoir clients fully retouched images. So these were other portrait clients. So they would just one at a time and then go, and how about this one? And how about this one? And then can you do more on this? And how about that hair? Oh, and I forgot. I just noticed this. So we were touching the same image like five times. So that was my bad. I didn't set expectations. I didn't let her know how the retouching process would work, et cetera. So I've got to go about, you know, fixing that because I don't want to do that again. So, you know, I've done this every year since 2004, and every year my business gets more and more fun. It becomes more and more lucrative, and I get better and better. And you will too. And, you know, in the beginning, I kind of checked in with myself more often than I do now, and which I probably should start doing again. Every August and every December, I would look at my pricing and I would also look at my process because I was rapidly changing. In the beginning, you're kind of changing fast. I've kind of settled into what I really love, and I haven't altered things all that much. But now that I'm in New York, I really want to take another look at things. And switch things up a little. I'm also creatively juiced to do some new stuff, so I'll be changing a lot this year, I think. But I love that you all, I mean, there's so many callers today from all over the U.S. and Canada and internationally, and I hope that this has added to your, you know, plans for big badass stuff in the new year. And I hope this makes your life and business more enjoyable and more lucrative. And hopefully I want to see you guys all on Facebook or on the blog or on Twitter. And if you are interested in an online workshop and you have any questions about it, you can email me directly, Krista@KristaMiola.com, because we are closing the cart tomorrow at midnight. So if you want a portfolio review or you want the money shots for free, or you want all the other goodies, then sign up now during early enrollment. And I just want to thank you again. There'll be more booty calls in the future. Stay in touch with me via the blog. And it's been a total, total pleasure. And that is all.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.